right hand. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're brand new, I want to say a big welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I always love our Crossroads family getting together, which includes our online campus. Right now, get ready for this. Dennis is watching in Ghana, South America. That's so cool. Yeah. Dennis and all you who are on, man, welcome. We love it. Hey, Pam and I went to Israel recently. Most of you know that. And by the way, if you've never gone, man, my dream would be able to have you go on a trip with us next year or the year after. But while we were there, we were taken by the fact of how much of our heritage is there, our Christian heritage is there, tracing back to the Old Testament too. A lot of people don't know that when Jesus returns and he's going to have a 1,000-year reign, during that 1,000 years, all of the feasts will be celebrated. One of those feasts is called the Feast of the Booths, and Zechariah talks about all of us celebrating that with Jesus. But to start a feast or to start a high holy day, there would be the blowing of the shofar. The head rabbi would stand up and he would blow it, and it would signal it's time to come into the presence of God. So today I thought it'd really be fun to have my grandson Liam begin our time together blowing the shofar. Liam. Awesome, buddy. Yeah, good job. Good job. So cool. Hey, before we dive into what we're going to get into today, it's the last of our Meet God series. I want to just kind of give you a heads up. All of the month of July, Pam and I are going to take time, and we're going to be local most of that time, but I'm going to be studying to get ready for August, September, October, November. I am going to be able to also do some counseling with people, which I love doing, but that's our main thing that we're going to do. One other thing we're going to do, though, is Pam and I are going to go on the podcast I have called What's Up with Pastor Chuck, and we're going to talk about marriage. And so we'd love for you to listen in. We're going to get honest about our marriage. We'd like to talk about how to have a better marriage. And so you can find that on iTunes or Spotify. But the month of July, we'll be talking about marriage as we get ready for our marriage retreat, which is coming in October. So love to have you tune into that, subscribe to that, be a part of that. I also want to give you a heads up that in August, we're going to do a brand new series called Get in the Game. And in that series, I'm bringing in some really cool people. Lee Strobel is going to be with us, if any of you guys know about Lee Strobel. And then also J. Warner Wallace, who was a former cold case detective and actually invented some of the techniques that are used to solve cold cases. But he was an atheist, used cold case techniques to investigate the Bible and became a Christian. So you're going to want to hear him. By the way, are you ready for this? We can only get Lee, we can only get Jay on Wednesday nights. Isn't that interesting? Our Wednesday night service is opening up a door to get people in. So we'll have them on Wednesday night, and then we'll film them and show it on Sunday. So I want to give you a heads up on that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a God who wants to meet with us, and you want us to meet you and know you. And I pray today, if there's anyone here who's not aware of how much you love them, they'd know that. I pray if there's someone here today who's far from you, that they would know that you don't want that to be the case. And I pray all of us who love you, we would know that you're a God who loves and gives gifts to us. And I pray that we would allow ourselves to embrace the gift you've given and begin to operate in that and find life and fulfillment in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today, is that God loves to give gifts. There are five love languages, and we love talking about those, but one of the love languages is the giving of gifts and receiving of gifts. God loves it when you give to him. God loves to give to you. In James chapter 1, it says that God is the Father of lights, and he gives good and perfect gifts to us. Good and perfect gifts to us. So I want you to think about the whole idea of gifts right now. This is a gift box, obviously, and inside it is a gift that I got from Pam. And this is a really cool gift, by the way, that I already received before, but I want to have you think about it. If Pam gave me this box and said, I bought you something special, and I never opened it, wouldn't you say something's wrong with that? Like, why would you not open it? But when I do open it up, I discover this inside. Ha ha! Now, is this cool or what? What, just so you know, this is a knife made by Ken Onion, one of the top knife makers in all the world. It's called a Shun, a part of his Shun collection. It's super sharp. I've actually cut myself badly with it. And this is one of the most amazing tools you could have for cooking. So when I opened it up, I was like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. Then, what do you think the first thing I wanted to do? What would you want to do if you got this? Yeah, you want to cut something, right? So right away you want to cut something. So I'm like looking for an onion. Yeah, because Ken Onion, get it. And I'm cutting the onion up. And then garlic, you know, a little piece of garlic. Man, you could like get those things super small. And then all I wanted to do was like, what meal can we make? 4th of July is coming, and guess what? I want something I can cut. You know why? Because I love this gift. But the gift is exciting to receive, but it gets even better when you use it. Does that make sense? It gets way better when you use it. So God wants you and I to know that. God wants you and I to operate in our giftedness. He's given you a gift, and he wants you to use it. But here's what I might think about. Since God does give gifts to you, if you don't use it, you're missing out on all the things it could do and mean in your life and the life of others. So let's talk about this right now. Number one today, the number one thing I want you to get is God gives spiritual gifts. God gives spiritual gifts. And what's so incredible about it is when the church embraces the gifts God given to each one of us individually and we use it the way God intended, then I want to tell you something epic happens. Now, you might go, oh, Chuck, you're just saying that. No, God is saying that. Hebrews chapter 2 says this in verse 4. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Now, I know I grabbed that verse out and just kind of put it on you, so let's get the context of it. God is constantly talking to us. God is sharing things with us. God is testifying to us, and he's doing it with them. Who's them? It's Jesus and the apostles. So you read Hebrews chapter 2. It says, if you know this, God is sending a message to you and me through Jesus and through the apostles. We find those words in the Bible. So God is testifying to us with the Bible. But along with the Bible, God gives signs and wonders. And by the way, as the last days get closer and closer to being in more fruition, more signs and wonders are going to be done. And then by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit. Think about this. God is equating, God is making equal the using of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the enacting of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is equal to signs and wonders and miracles. Now, I want to have you think about this. If we all walked outside and I called fire down out of heaven, that would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? You'd be going, wow, man, that's amazing. Like you'd be telling people, hey, at church, they called fire down out of heaven and it came. Ready for this? Miracles. I don't know why I didn't think about this ahead of time, but we've had many, many people here at Crossroads miraculously healed. And if I walked a person out and said, hey, I want you to meet so-and-so, and they were healed, the medical diagnosis happened, God did a miracle, they're completely healed. Wouldn't you all say that's incredible, right? Now, you ready for this? Fire out of heaven, gifts of healing, gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're equal. See, something happens when the whole church, and it needs to be all of us, we embrace the gift that God has given us, and we put it into action. And God says when that happens, it causes people to walk around going, whoa, God is here. God is here. And here's what I want you to know. When we don't operate in our giftedness, then the church becomes a cheap imitation of what it's meant to be. See, now I'm going to ask the Crossroads family, all the Crossroads family, don't you agree that God has given you gifts and he wants you to use the gifts? What's the answer? Yeah, yeah. And see, that's what we're talking about today, that you would know that. 1 Peter chapter 4 says this, as each one has received a special gift, every single Christian, everybody who's committed their life to Christ, God gives you a special gift, a supernatural gift. And so everyone has received one. So he says, what do you do with it? Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So he said, I want you to take that gift and start using it for what it's meant for. Now, let me tell you something. God has a plan for your life, and he has purpose for you to fulfill, and then he's given you this gift so you can do it. He's giving you this gift so you can do it. And the word gift is a Greek word, charisma, and it means the gift of grace, a spiritual endowment, religious qualification, but look at this, miraculous faculty. Miraculous faculty. It's something miraculous that you will experience as you allow God to empower you to use the gift he gave to you. And you have a gift. Everybody has a gift. And we need to live in that gift and operate in that gift. And we need to be aware of that. And when you do, it's going to give your life amazing, amazing joy. But you got to embrace the gift. Ed Young Sr. Has a son named Ed Young Jr. Ed Young Sr. is the pastor of an incredible church in Houston, Texas. And his son, Ed Young Jr., is the pastor of a church in Dallas that's amazing. But back when his son was in high school, he went in one day and said to his son, Ed, who was in high school, he said, Ed, I got you a gift. And Ed was all excited. He took it. He opened it up. It was the autobiography of Sam Houston. And he was like, oh, thanks, Dad. And Ed goes, no. He goes, you're going to love this gift. I want you to read the book. It's going to have a lot of meaning to you. And so a couple days later, the dad said to the son, did you read the book? He goes, no, not yet. He goes, go read the book. About a month later, hey, son, have you read the book? No. Do you even know where the book is? Yeah, it's in my room. Would you read the book? 6 months later, hey, it's time to read the book. You got to read the book. And a year goes by. And he finally says, do you even know where the book is I gave you? He said, yeah. He goes, I want you to read it. He goes, okay, Dad. So he goes in. It's not even that thick a book. He's reading the book. He comes to the last chapter. He turns to it, and there's a handwritten note from his father. It says, Ed, your mother and I love you, and we could not be more proud of you, so we bought you a brand new car. When you read this, come, and I'll give you the keys. He runs in there, a car! And he goes, yeah, my friends are really mad because it's been at their house for over a year. Yeah, think about that. You know what? He could have had the car. Now, you know what I want to say to you? You already know this. God wants you to what? Read the book. And what's the book? The Bible. Read the book. And then take action on the gifts that God gives you in that book, because God has given you a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what? For the common good. Now, in reading that quickly, I don't know if you're going to catch how incredible this is, but I think everybody here would, I don't think anybody would argue with this. I'd be shocked if anyone did. I think this is something we could all universally agree on, that a person who lives a life that's selfish will not be happy. Would you agree with that? Selfish people aren't going to be happy. So God has given you a spiritual gift not to be selfish with, but to be selfless with, to use, to bless others. And so every gift you've given, every gift I'm given, is given by God. So I would benefit you, and you would bless others with it and benefit me, and we'd benefit each other. And when we do that, guess what we have? We have joy. One of the signs that you're using your spiritual gift is joy. If you're not getting joy from it, you're not using your gift. When you use your spiritual gift, you touch the lives of other people, impact the lives of other people, and guess what? You have joy, like incredible joy. And God gave you the gift because it's a gift. It's a gift that has miraculous power and a supernatural impact, and God wants you and I to live with that gift and do that gift. You see here, I'm going to go back to Ephesians 2:10. I mentioned it without quoting it. For we, you and I, are his workmanship. The New Living Translation says, we are his masterpiece. You're a masterpiece of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Before you were ever born, God, according to Psalm 139, wrote out a book about your life. He wrote things that you were to do, experiences you were to have, differences you were to make, the purpose you were to fulfill. Then God, being God, didn't just throw you out there. He gave you spiritual gifts so you could do it. See, he wants to partner with you, and he gave you the gifts so you could actually accomplish everything you're meant for. But that will only happen. That will only happen is if you know your spiritual gifts and use them. And God wants you to take the gift you have and to use it. And then your life's going to have incredible meaning. And you're going to have joy. So number one, God gives spiritual gifts. Number two, find your spiritual gifts. Now, in a room this size, I don't have time to get with each one of you individually and help you discover your gift. But we do have a way for you to do that. It's called Next Step. Now, let me tell you, if you're not aware of it, next step is four meetings we have, and the first one takes place the first Sunday of the month at 12:30 on the first Sunday of the month up in the London, and we give you free lunch, and that one's about how to connect to the church. The second one and the third one and the fourth one take place on Sundays at 9 a.m. And those three have very specific purposes. Next step number two is how you hear the voice of God. Next step number three is discovering your spiritual gift. And next step number four is that where you can use your gift. So here's what I want to tell you. We offer those every single month. So the third Sunday of the month at 9 o'clock, you come to the London and we're going to help you discover what your spiritual gift is, because we want you to know. We want you to know. And then we'll show you places you can go and use that gift, which will give your life meaning and joy. And so everybody here, if you want to know what your spiritual gift is, we will do whatever we can to help you. Now, by the way, in your bulletin, I've given you a list of gifts. If you take your notes and you look, you'll see this very list in there. So you can see this is the vast majority of gifts. There might be a couple others. The vast majority of gifts the Bible lists. For instance, we'll talk about prophecy today, but some of you have a gift of serving. You just love to serve. You don't want to be up front. You don't want to have the spotlight on you. You just like to go serve other people. That's a spiritual gift. Some of you have the gift of giving. We'll get to that in a minute. Or mercy. You know what? There's some of you here, man, you're so amazing at caring for people. One of the ways you know you have the gift of mercy, are you ready? People love to tell you their problems. Are there some of you here that's that way? Okay, so you're shaking your head. Yeah, you probably have been in the women's restroom washing your hands, and the person next to you, a stranger, is pouring out their heart to you, and they're like, okay, and they're telling you every detail of their life. And you're like awesome in that moment. And so that's that gift of mercy. And I gotta be honest, there are some of you, you don't have that gift. They start telling you your problems, and you're like, get a life. You know, and which isn't a good idea, but some of you have that. Some of you have words of wisdom, where you just constantly, God is giving you things to say to help people know how to live a better life, a quality life. And so God's given all these gifts. By the way, look this down here, hospitality. Some of you love to just have people over and to give them the best time ever. And you love to come to church and help us do that for other people. You have this gift of hospitality. And then some have craftsmanship. Did you know craftsmanship's a gift? God has given some of you here the ability to do things with craftsmanship that could be used to his glory. The tabernacle, when it was time to build the tabernacle or the temple, God said, he named people. He said, I've given them the gift of craftsmanship. When it was time to sow, did you know sowing can be a spiritual gift? And when it was time to sow, they would sow. And God empowered them to do something incredible with that. So we all have spiritual gifts, and we want you to discover your gift. So we all have them. So number one, God gives spiritual gifts. Number two, I want you to find your gift. Number three, I want to just do a case study on my gifts. So you know what we're talking about. So the third thing is, you know, what gifts do I have that God wants me to use so I can operate in the area he wants me to? So what I want you to know is the first gift I know I have is called the gift of giving. I have the gift of giving. Now, what does that mean? That means that I have joy in giving to God and giving to others. I love to give to God financially, and I love to give to others. By the way, Pam and I both have that gift. We love to do that. So whenever something comes our way financially, usually we're like, okay, God, what do you want us to do? Who do you want us to bless? Does it go back to you, above and beyond our tithe? Does it go, and then we just get such joy from that. Wednesday night, quite a few of you were here, but Wednesday night, something pretty cool happened. We had our best VBS we've ever had. By the way, this is the best VBS we've ever had. On day one, we had more children than we've ever had in the history of Crossroads of VBS. And it grew all week, yeah. And the kids were excited. They were on fire. It was so fun. And then part of VBS was we asked the kids to give. To give to God so that our food pantry would be blessed, so a thing in Thailand would be enacted. And so what happened is they had one area over here where the boys could come up and give their offering, and an area over here where the girls could give their offering. So Wednesday night, we invited all the kids to be here so we could have a glow party afterwards. So I come out to preach, and there's this room is filled with children, and I'm going to have to preach a message to second graders on up. Okay, you already know. Okay. So I'm trying to preach and keep their attention, and a little girl runs up and gives her offering while I'm preaching. Then a little boy goes and gives his, then another one, then another one, then another one. And I thought, that is so cute. So I said, hey, don't you love these kids want to give their offering? Well, then that meant 5 more came, 10 more came, 100 came, 200 came. This is a sea of kids all excited, and I'm losing control. I have no control. And I'm just watching, thinking, this is cool. They couldn't wait to give their offering. Big old smiles, kids high-fiving me, some wanting to hug me as they give their offering. So I thought, well, let's just give the invitation. And 20 people came forward and gave their lives to Christ. Yeah. Those kids loved giving. They loved giving. By the way, in Romans chapter 12, it says this. In Romans 12, it says, he who gives, he who has that gift of giving, do so with liberality. Do it with liberality, generously. And the kids were coming, and they were giving with liberality, and they're giving generously, and they're giving joyously. And some of you are going, yeah, because it was their parents' money. And it was, right? Get ready. All of us who give to God, whose money is it? Aren't we giving our dad's money? Now, am I right? All of you believers, all you love God, when Pam and I get a chance to give, whose money is it? It was always his anyway. I'm like the little child running up, can't wait to give because dad gave that to me. And that's how we give. And so anybody who has that gift, you love giving. You just love giving that way. By the way, I want to share something with you. There's some of you here right now who have the gift of giving. By the way, it's not all of you. Some of you have the gift of giving. And we've never done anything to accentuate and give you an ability to actually take that to a spiritual level that could be incredible. So now we are going to do it. We are going to begin a brand new ministry team at our church called the Catalyst Team. The idea of you catalyzing change. And so we already have a bunch of people have already signed up to be on this team. So to be on the Catalyst Team, you have the gift of giving and you get joy in giving and you love to give. And then Pam and I are on that team with you. You'll be on it with Pam and I. And then twice a year, it's not a time intensive team. Twice a year, we'll gather together. I'll share things with you to pray about. And then two other times a year, we'll meet in smaller groups where we can just pray together. And so it's a prayer team. So all the twice a year we'll get together. I'll say, here's ways God could use us to touch the world. You pray about it. Let me tell you something. If you join Pam and I on the Catalyst Team, I will never ask you for money. You might go, wait, Chuck, didn't you say it's a giving team? Yeah, but I'm not going to ask you for money. Why? You should only give when the Holy Spirit stirs. Would you agree with that? And so what we're going to do is I'm going to say, here's what we're going to pray about. It's a prayer team. And then if God stirs on your hearts, then you use your gift to giving. And so we're going to do that. So if you want to be a part of that, you can email me at chuck@crossroadschurch.com, or you can write it on your card, Catalyst Team or Giving Team. And we'll let you know when we're going to meet. So if you have the gift of giving, I'd love for you to join us in that. So one of my gifts is the gift of giving. Another gift I have is the gift of leadership. So I have the gift of giving. I have the gift of leadership. And I love enacting the gift of leadership. Back in Romans chapter 12, it says this. It says that he who leads is to lead with diligence. In other words, you're to love that. Now let me tell you something about giving and about leadership. Pam and I and our youngest son, Tim, who was a pastor already, Tim was an adult, married, everything. We all went to Kenya together a few years ago. So we go to Kenya and we're going to go visit one of the worst slums in all the world. I mean, it's a horrible slum. And so what happens is we get there and they say, Pastor Chuck, we want to take you to see this slum because we believe that God can do transformation things in this slum. So we end up, we're walking in the slum. Pam's with me, Tim's with me. We have a team that we're working with there. And as soon as we get a little ways into the slum, all these children see us and they start coming out at us. Little kids, and they're like, oh, and they all want to touch us. Now these kids are dirty. Okay, and they have things coming out of their nose. You know what I'm talking about? And so I see them coming and I'm like, oh, and I look over and Pam's like, oh, the kids. I look back, Tim's like, the kids. And I'm like, oh, the kids. Anybody else here? Is anybody else here that way? Yeah, so they're coming at me, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, this is not my spiritual gift. So I love kids, but this is not the gift. So I get this idea. So the first kid gets to me, and I take him and hand him to Tim. Send the next one to Tim, and the next one to Tim. I'm just passing them straight to Tim, because that's his spiritual gift. And then I hear this loud laughter, and I turn around, and Tim's got these kids all over him, and he is laughing and having a blast. I was too, because I wasn't there. And it was just a difference in gifting. And then later on, Marion Wallace said, hey, Chuck, we need to talk leadership things with you. Well, then it was like, yes. Because back then, I think we were reaching probably with them about 1,000 kids. And we got together, and some of my friends and I, we networked our churches together. So today we're reaching 25,000 children. Yeah. So we need people to go and use their gift touching the lives of the kids. That's an awesome thing to do. We also need other people using their gifts. I had a man in our church, he's given me permission to share this. He said to me, Pastor Chuck, man, my wife wants me to go on a global outreach trip and I don't wanna go. And I said, well, it would change your life if you went. You ought to think about it. He goes, oh. He goes, you know what? I could write a check. I could send other people, but I guess I'm just not spiritual enough. And I'm like, whoa. First of all, I'd like you to go on a trip. But that's your gift. Your gift's a gift of giving. And you know what? He goes, oh. I said, I don't want you to feel guilty about that. By the way, think about this. He decided he would send 10 people who couldn't afford to go on the trip. So what impacted the kingdom of God more, him going or 10 people going? What would be the answer? Yeah, so using your spiritual gift. And we're to use them together. So that day, I was using my gift of leadership, and Tim and Pam were getting disease. But anyway, not really. They didn't. But so, you know what? You use the gift you have. And so in my case, I have giving, I have leadership. I have another gift. It's called prophecy. So I have giving, leadership, and prophecy. And so what does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to walk out of here and go, the future is next month? I'm not going to, by the way, we could use the Bible to do that. But the gift of prophecy is not necessarily and very seldom telling the future. What's the gift of prophecy? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says this, the one who prophesies, when they use the gift of prophecy, they speak to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. So right now you can judge how good I do with my gift. And I'm always trying to get better at it. But when I'm using my gift of prophecy with you, what do? Well, the first thing I ought to do is right now, I ought to be teaching you things that build you up. So Crossroads and all you are visiting, if I'm using my gift, you come here, I take God's word and I try to make you, build you up, make you stronger in your faith, make you better, make you more effective in life. That's one of the parts of my gift. Then I also do exhortation. And so exhortation is counseling. So I would build you up with God's word, then I would give you practical ways to go and live God's word. Does that make sense? And I love doing that here. I also love doing that in smaller settings with people or couples or families and doing counseling with them where I help them discover. I want to join them on a journey to overcome a challenge or to heal a pain and then to start operating life better. And it gives me incredible joy to do that. And then consolation is comfort. It's where you comfort people and you help them to know God's love in the midst of hurt, pain, or even in the midst of guilt and shame. Let me share something with you about that. We are a church that preaches truth. If you're brand new, we will never, ever not be willing to take what God's word says and preach it, even if it's not popular. We always bring truth, yeah. But I hope you would always find me doing it with kindness. Does that make sense? I don't want to come out here condemning, attacking, but I want to tell the truth, but I always do it, want to do it in love. But I want to give you all the truth. I don't want to hide it from you. So by the way, in January, we're going to have a month on truth. I've already started studying towards that, and we're going to have a whole month on truth because we need to talk about the truths of God's word and the lies that are in this world. One of those, by the way, is in the area of abortion. You know what? We're hearing all sorts of lies about abortion. I want to say this. There is an actual intentional campaign for people in the United States not to know what abortion is. And the minute you start telling what it is, they get mad. We want to talk about the fact that God loves life, and he loves the life in the womb, too. He loves the child in the womb. But I also want to do it with kindness so people know that if you've committed the sin, like Pam and I have, that God's grace is there for you, right? So we want to do both. I want to talk about alternative lifestyles that people are saying is okay, but the Bible says isn't, and why. I want to start sharing some of those things with you. But I want you to know this. If you bring a friend who's struggling with one of those things or even disagrees, I hope at least they would say, we gave truth, but we did it with kindness. And so I hope I always do that with you, because that'd be how my spiritual gift operates best. And then I have another spiritual gift that I love that God has given me. It's called the word of knowledge, words of knowledge. And what does that mean? Well, God has at times will tell me things I wouldn't know apart from him. God will tell me things I wouldn't know apart from him. And so, by the way, I always want to check and see if it's God, but it happens pretty regularly, to be honest. And so when that happens, I'm like, okay, Lord, you wanted me to know this, and here's how I could enact that gift, and it could be for the benefit of someone else. A couple years ago, I was speaking. Actually, now I think it was 3 years ago. Might have been four. I don't know. I was speaking at Generate. And back when it met in this building. And so I'm preaching, and as I'm preaching, all of a sudden, I felt like the Lord said to me, there's a girl here, and she's really scared, a college girl. And I thought, okay. And so I mentioned that right in the sermon. I think you're here, and you're really scared, and went on. And then when I went down to give the invitation, all of a sudden, I could see her. I couldn't see her face. That was the interesting thing. I don't get to see here down. I could see her shirt. I could see what was on her shirt. I could see the color, and I'm giving the invitation, and the Lord speaks to me and says, she's pregnant. She just found out. And she's scheduled to have an abortion tomorrow. And so I said, I know you're here right now, and God loves you, but you just found out you're pregnant. You've been hiding it, and you have an abortion scheduled. And deep down, you know it's wrong, because the Lord told me she knew it was wrong. And I give the invitation, and she doesn't come. I'm looking for the shirt. She doesn't come. Other people came. And I thought, okay, maybe I got it wrong, or I don't know. And so I came walking back out, and there she's standing there with the friend. I looked at the shirt, and it was her. And I was like, oh. And so obviously I went right up, and she's crying. And I said, hey, I feel like God had a message for you tonight. She's crying. She goes, I'm that girl. And I said, you know, I want to tell you, you know it's better than this. You know, God has a better plan. That baby inside you is a blessing. You know, what you did was wrong, but the blessing's the baby. The baby, by the way, does everybody know babies are never sin? Yeah. And so I said, you know what? God had you here. He gave me this message for you because he cares so much about you. Do you know you're loved? And so I began to share. And so she ended up committing her life to Christ and also agreeing not to have the abortion. Are you ready for this? Her mom and dad didn't know. Yeah, praise God for that. Her mom and dad did not know she was going to do it. And so when she went home scared and told them, they were like, oh my gosh, we're going to have a grandchild. Yes. Yeah, you know, and she wasn't ready for that. Well, here's the good news. She didn't do it. And then after she had the baby, she felt led by God to keep the baby instead of adoption, which is still a good option. And today that little child's 3 years old and the blessing of her life. And God does that. God, see, that was all God. And if some of you are going, oh, Chuck, you're trying to make yourself look good. Remember what I told you last week? God can use a donkey. So it's all about him, right? And so what you need to know, God has that, not just for me, for you. If you're a Christian, God's giving you spiritual gifts, and I want you to know what they are and use them. If you're here right now and you're far from God, God loves you, and he has the best gift ever for you. You know what the best spiritual gift is? Jesus. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave Jesus to you. If you were the only person in all the world that needed Jesus to die on the cross for you, he would have done it just for you. You matter that much to him. He wants to have you know forgiveness from all your sin. He wants to have you be free from guilt and shame. He wants you to know God's love. He died on the cross so you could come close to God and know his love and not know a God that's out there, but a God who's near, a God who loves you. The Bible says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And if you're here right now and you are not in a very real relationship with God that's loving, that's caring, where you're experiencing him, then I want to ask you to do this. Would you be willing to say yes to God? Would you be willing to receive the gift? And how do you receive it? You just say yes. I'll lead a prayer where you can just tell God yes. Yes for the first time. Yes to recommit your life and come back to him. Yes to find freedom from something that's holding you back or down. Yes to healing from hurt and pain or past an experience that has too much power in your life. Just say yes to him. Pray this prayer with me. I'll pray and then I'll have a point where you just pray it with me. And you could do it alone. You could do it as a couple. You could do it for your marriage. You could do it as friends. Just pray the prayer because God is a prayer away from coming and showing you life and love in an incredible way. And he wants to do that. Yeah, yeah. And we all, by the way, you know why people are clapping? Because they want it for you. Don't we want it for people right now, everybody? Yeah. But let me say this, after you pray the prayer, there's something you need to do. And here's why. It will take your faith deeper and make it stronger and help you experience God more. And so after we pray the prayer and you pray that prayer with me, I'm going to ask everyone to stand and sing. And if you pray the prayer and mean it, I'm going to ask you to make your way to an aisle or make your way to the stairs. People would love to let you out. Walk down one of these aisles and let us greet you. And then head in this room we call the living room. We're not going to keep you long, not long. We're going to give you a Bible and share some next steps with you. But something happens when you step out. I know it's scary, but when you make your way out, you're gonna feel God. You're gonna sense God. It's powerful. It goes deep. If you want to, you can grab someone's hand and say, come with me. You can come as a group. If you have your children, bring your children. Probably no better gift to give your kids than them watch you make a commitment to God. But no matter what, make that walk. You will sense God in a powerful way. So let's pray. Father, I know you're here. You've been here this whole time. And I know you love us. And I pray right now for anyone who needs to open their heart to you and commit their life to you. I pray, oh God, they would feel and sense your presence and your love for them. And I pray for a person here right now who, Lord, they had somebody turn on them recently, very recently. It came out of nowhere, the cruel words, the mean things. And they need to know that it's not true. It hurts, but it's not true. But it's brought them here, and now it's time for them to know your love and to know how you're going to bring peace back to that moment. So I pray they're going to pray this prayer and come. I pray for a person here who they've been drinking so much, and they got to stop, but they can't on their own. They need you. And if they don't stop, it's going to have the consequence they never want to face. And you love them too much, and you can free them. I pray they're going to come. I pray, Lord, for anybody here who's never, ever really, truly come to know you. Maybe they attended church when they were younger, but it never became real, and now it's going to. I pray for couples that need to get their marriage right, for people who've had things in their past that are so harmful and painful. They've gotten through it, but they've never gotten truly free from it, and I pray they'll come now. So I pray for people who need to come to know you for the first time, very first commitments, and for those who need to recommit, and for marriages that need to commit their marriage to you. Right now I'm gonna ask you, if you love the Lord, pray for people to say yes. I'm going to lead that prayer. I'm going to lead a prayer where you can say yes to God. You can make this commitment. It can be yours. And he wants you to. So pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, whisper those words. Lord Jesus, I know you love me. And I know you died on the cross for me. And you died for my sins. I pray you'll forgive me and cleanse me completely. I pray you'll heal me from hurt and pain. I pray you'll free me from anything that's holding me down or will hold me back. And I pray most of all that you'll make me yours, that that you'll make me alive, that you'll make me brand new. So I say yes to you. And if those are the only words you could say, say them. Just say, I say yes. I say yes. Right now, just say, I say yes. Yes to you and yes to the life you have for me. So take me now and make me yours. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen if you prayed that prayer. Amen if you